Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to the Toe Meets Leather podcast. We are here to recap bowl season and get you ready for the final matchup, Clemson versus Alabama. But first, let me introduce our guests. We've got our favorite producer, our only producer, Tommy. We would trade if we could, but how are you doing? How's your holiday been, Tommy?
My holiday's been good. I'm ready to put 2015 behind me and welcome the new year with open arms.
What's your resolution, by the way? I know Fat Shame Tommy 2015 is over.
Yeah, I had to move on. My resolution for this year is I'm getting a dog. I've been fighting my wife over it, and this is the year, so I'm getting a dog.
Okay. My resolution is to eat as much cake as possible. I'm working on that right now. Second on the list, we got Nigel. He's working on a collab with Pitbull right now. Nigel, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, man.
All right. And finally, we've got Andrew, who is channeling his inner Marshawn Lynch. How you doing today, Andrew?
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
So I know everyone's dying to know the results of the bowl pick'em that Nigel set up. And honestly, it surprised me. So Nigel, we've kind of saw this coming after last week. You ended up going 4-9 overall. Not bad. I'm trying to make it sound better than it is. You know what? Maybe you'll do better next year. I think you it makes up for your good karma early on in the year. Andrew did very well. He went 8-5, and somehow I went 9-4 and barely won the bowl pick'em. I'm going to put that on the SEC. They screw me over a lot in the regular season, but it turns out picking a lot of SEC games is the way to go in the bowl season. Nigel, I think you had the roughest go of them. What exactly went wrong with your picks?
My teams just didn't win, man. I mean, there are some games, you know, just from talking with Andrew, like Oregon TCU, I felt really good about the Oregon pick. And, you know, going into the game, I probably felt even better just because the starting quarterback for TCU was out of the game. And then, I mean, if you had told me at halftime, I was like, oh, yeah, this is going to be a steal for me. But, I mean, Oregon, you know, ended up giving up the game, and TCU just made an amazing comeback. So, you know, I had games like that, and, you know, there's nothing you can say. You know, Penn State, if Hattenberg hadn't gotten knocked out, maybe they win that game. So, I mean, nothing too bad. It was just, you know, I just happened to make some bad picks. It happens.
Well, let me list off a few of your other games. Just to add insult to injury, I suppose. You did get Virginia Tech over Tulsa, so that was good. Hokies came through for you in their last game with Frank Beamer. We also had you had UCLA over Nebraska. I don't know how that didn't work out.
Yeah, right? Like, that should have been a win, but...
Then we have Memphis over Auburn, which wasn't a smart pick. It pains me to say that. UNC over Baylor, which... Who expected Baylor to put up that many rush yards, really? Yeah. Andrew, why don't you talk about your picks? You've been pretty consistent on the year, getting above 500 with all your picks, so clearly people should be listening to you.
Well, first of all, I must have been drunk as hell when I picked Georgia State.
It was probably the fact that they beat Georgia Southern right at the end of the year. That said...
They gone and tricked me, is what they did.
Yeah, that said, I would never bet on Georgia State. But...
You know, but who really saw Houston bringing out the wood against Florida State? That game, I think, surprised everybody across the country.
Well, I mean, it was a turnover. It was turnovers with Florida State, right? Because Florida State really hadn't turned the ball over as much. And then they just, I mean, imploded in that game.
Florida State didn't have a quarterback. Let's be honest. Their backup really was never really the guy who's you would want to give the keys to anyway. And, you know, Golson wasn't really the savior everybody thought him to be. And I think Notre Dame fans could tell you that ahead of time. So, all Houston had to do is stop Dalvin Cook, which they have a pretty strong rush defense all year long.
Yeah, I joked about this earlier when you actually made the prediction. Houston owns the overall record against Florida State, I think by 3 or 4 wins now. They don't play often, but apparently Houston just knows how to play against Florida State. Yeah, that said, I really didn't expect that to play out the way it did.
You know, I didn't see Wisconsin beating USC. That really kind of surprised me. I saw Wisconsin is extremely one-dimensional on offense and even not that great at that dimension. Now, they were extremely good on defense, and their defensive coordinator, Dave Aranda, which may be one of the best hires of the season, is headed down to Baton Rouge to work for the Mad Hatter, which that's going to be unbelievable. Aranda's really well known as one of the brighter young minds on the defensive side of the ball in college football today. So to put him down at LSU with the kind of talent they can bring, man, that's going to be a scary program on defense, more so than it even has been in the past.
Speaking of, you think they can hold on to that defensive coordinator for more than a year?
I think Aranda's going to be a head coach in the next couple of years. I think it'll probably be on the West Coast.
I think as far as the rest of it goes, honestly, I just kind of made up these picks, like most of my picks. Temple over Toledo, a lot of my losses were the losses that could go either way. I think I was just smart in the late game and picked a lot of sure things. A lot of the games that came through at the end of the bowl season were the SEC teams that were expected to blow out people like Tennessee, Northwestern. I didn't think that was going to be close. And then Ohio State and Notre Dame, I don't know how y'all felt about that game. Notre Dame hasn't impressed me this year. And I think everybody looks at Ohio State and they forget how good that team is depth-wise just because they lost to Michigan State at the year and they struggled a lot throughout the year.
You know, I think the playoff committee got it right in the 4 teams they picked. But, man, what we saw out of both Ohio State and Stanford in the bowl season really kind of makes you long and wish that it was an 8-team playoff and not a 4-team playoff. Because those were 2 teams right there. And then you add in a Houston team that may have been hotter than anybody else in the country, and you've got 3 great teams that would have been absolutely fantastic in an expanded playoff.
Well, like you said, I think it's hard to pick against the teams that they did end up doing. But if they expand the playoff, it clearly shows that there's a lot of teams out there that could make things more interesting. That said, overall, the bowl season just had a lot of blowouts. I think it's been a very disappointing year on the whole. I mean, at the end, we've had a bunch of close races and unusual games. Nigel, how would you rate this bowl season overall?
I mean, just overall, you know, kind of singing the same praises, a lot of blowouts. And the thing for me was, on paper, a lot of these teams, you wouldn't have expected blowouts. You know, I guess my greatest observation is, the SEC, I mean, just dominated. I mean, I think more than, 6 or 7 of their wins were by 3 scores or more. So, you know, the SEC just came out and dominated, and they were the result of a lot of blowouts. So, I mean, for a conference that maybe needed as good a bowl season as anybody, they definitely responded. So, I got to give them kudos where it's deserved. That they just came out and just dominated in their bowl games in general.
Well, and there were some other conferences that fell short, definitely. I mean, a lot of people are going to look at the American and the ACC. I think the ACC had some rough, unusual upsets. But the conference that I look at as being the most disappointment, the biggest disappointment, rather, would be the Big Ten. Other than Ohio State, every team that they've had that was big and ranked got destroyed. You got Iowa against Stanford. You got Michigan State against Alabama. Northwestern against Tennessee. They just got torn up overall. It wasn't pretty. And I don't know that that says a lot about the conference strength in general, but it doesn't look good when you have a bowl season like that. Andrew, you got anything to add to the thought?
Yeah, I mean, their best win outside of Ohio State was probably Wisconsin over USC. You know, they had a lot of blowouts and a lot of tough losses in places that really didn't do them a lot of good. The ACC didn't really do a lot to help themselves this bowl season. They had some rough games and not a real, you know, even outside of Clemson winning the national title, probably not a really good statement type bowl game coming out. But, you know, I mean, every conference had some teams that just came in and collapsed or just really didn't seem like they wanted to be there, or just didn't show up.
I would say actually the Big 12 probably had the worst bowl season to me. I mean, outside of Baylor, who even won their bowl game?
TCU.
So, I mean, TCU.
That's huge, 31, largest comeback in bowl history.
You know, so it was TCU and Baylor, you know, the two teams that I guess were kind of down because they were expected kind of to make the playoffs and they both didn't. But then, I mean, Oklahoma obviously didn't win. Oh, no. So I was about to say Nebraska. Nebraska's part of the Big Ten now, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the Big 12 didn't have that many bowl teams, but definitely didn't do as well as I thought they would have done.
That's true, and that kind of makes me think about the whole playoff scenario that they're dealing with there. But, again, that's a talk that could take – we could take us a whole podcast to discuss. Yeah, I think overall, the fact that there were so many blowouts just is very disappointing because you want to see close games that get people interested in football and interested in teams that they're not really related to. But I think kind of like how Nigel and I were talking earlier, just sometimes that's the way it lines up. You get a bad matchup and you just get destroyed. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and move on. Tommy, I know you've got some discussion about. Oh wait, I'll let Andrew finish the thought for us.
You know, one of the funny things about it to me is, for years and years and years and years, bowl games were treated purely as exhibition games. It's the reason up until, I believe, the 1970s, that the AP poll and the coaches poll crowned their national champions before the bowl season, because they said, you know, this team is the best team we saw during the regular season. They're the national champion. And now these bowl games are just excuses for the team that's done well to reward them and to put on an exhibition. I mean, you look at how many games were originally sponsored, the Cotton Growers Association, the Peach Growers, the Orange Growers. You know, I mean, these were festive exhibition-style atmospheres. It wasn't until you really started seeing a lot of your heavy split national titles, Georgia Tech, Colorado, you know, all through the 90s, Michigan, Nebraska, that you started having people really kind of coming out and saying, well, we need a national champion, we need a single national champion, we need a way to define it. And that's when you started seeing the bowl games take on a lot more meaning than they really had in the past.
Yeah, and things have definitely changed also in the way of money making, and that's why we're seeing so many new bowl games. People are trying to make money off of it. And that's the way marketing goes. And I think it's disappointing for a lot of people to look at those stands and see that there aren't a lot of people up there watching these games. But at the end of the day, it's really for the kids to enjoy themselves, and I don't think you should be putting such an emphasis on TV ratings or making money from people traveling to the stadiums, because that's not really what it's all about. Any last thoughts, Tommy, Nigel, Andrew?
I mean, as long as they get the bowl games get sponsored, I guess. I mean, I'm no worse for the wear. I'm not going to tell a company where to kind of put its money, but it does feel like we're drowning a little bit in the bowl games. I mean, I don't want a massive reduction. But, I mean, even this year, and I know it was a rarity, but we had three teams under 500 who all happened to win. But I find that a little, just an example of the amount of saturation. So I understand it's definitely for the kids, and I'm glad the kids have fun. And, you know, if your school makes a bowl game, you won't always travel, but it's, you know, people will get excited, people will travel. The local areas get a boom, hopefully. From hosting the bowl game. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see kind of the approach in the future. I mean, as long as, like I said, as long as the sponsors keep giving the money, I don't think there'll be any issues. So we'll kind of see. It'll be interesting over the next couple of years, kind of how things go.
Let's move on to our next topic. We saw the semifinals this week. Michigan State got destroyed by Alabama, and Clemson made some good adjustments after a rough early game. They made some surprise plays, and they ended up coming away quite handily from that matchup. What did you guys take away from those matchups?
No, I mean, the Michigan State-Alabama game really didn't surprise me all that much. I mean, the fact that it got that out of hand that quickly, I think, was the biggest thing that surprised me. I think early on you could just tell that Alabama was the better talented team and just came to play, had better plans, and was able to execute. You know, they let Jake Coker loose a little bit, and I think it helped him. I think it built his confidence, and he was able to make some plays against what was a really talented Michigan State defense. Now, the Clemson game in that second half just surprised the fire out of me. Clemson ran all over, up, down, left, right on that Oklahoma defense, and that really caught me off guard because, you know, Oklahoma had been pretty well respected on defense, and Clemson had definitely been a air the ball out a little more kind of offense, but man, you know, you talk about adjustments, that was unbelievable. That offensive coordinator definitely deserves a little extra jingle in his pocket.
Nigel, go ahead.
I mean, kind of echoing the same thoughts as Andrew, I was very surprised that Alabama didn't run the ball more, especially, and I think, Logan, you mentioned this before we started the podcast, they actually brought out Drake Moore, ran the ball with him, kind of got him coming out of the backfield with some short passes. They didn't, you know, they had a Heisman Trophy winner. It was almost like, we don't need him to win the game as much as you guys think we do. And like Andrew said, I'm definitely very interested. I think the biggest thing for me from the Oklahoma-Clemson game was Shaq Lawson played for probably about 7 to 8 minutes of that game. And obviously he had a key play when he was in the game, but then he got knocked out of that game, probably more for precautionary reasons, but the defense didn't seem to miss a beat as much. They had Baker Mayfield running for his life. They didn't allow the running game to get going. I think that should be the thing that's taken away from that game, is that as much as people want to say Shaq Lawson is going to be missing a national title game, if he doesn't make it, I don't think there's going to be as big of a fall off as people expect from Clemson's defense. And also, let's give credit to Clemson's defensive coordinator and offensive coordinators, because they've lost along both of those lines. They had a lot of guys graduate and get drafted, and they're just, I mean, I think they've gotten better on their defense. So, I mean, just kudos to Clemson overall.
First off, I'd like to say it takes a big man to admit when he's wrong.
I wasn't wrong, and I'm still not wrong.
Thankfully, I am a very small man. What Alabama did is they did take advantage of kind of what I was talking about last week. They knew Michigan State was good at the defense on run game. So like we talked about, they let Drake get to the outside because he was their fast runner. And early in the game, they spread the field out wide by going to screen plays and running outside run game. And I think it worked really well at drawing Michigan State out of their defensive game plan. And that allowed Coker to go long. And I will give credit where credit is due. Coker is a better quarterback than I thought he was, and I think most of the country thought he was. That said, I think it was on Lane Kiffin just being a smart offensive coordinator and giving him the chance to go long and get that confidence. Start off with the screen passes, make some completions, short passes, and then just bomb it long and get through the Michigan State defense. As far as Michigan State on offense goes, I stand by my statement. It's more efficient to pass on Alabama than it is to run the ball. And you just look at the yards and say that. Michigan State started early. They tried to pass to open up the run. And guess what? They kept going back to running up the middle on them, and it made nothing against Alabama. Now, they could have tried to go with the same strategy Lane Kiffin did, but they, for some reason, they were bullheaded and felt like running up the middle was the only thing they could do. As far as the Clemson-Oklahoma game, yeah, that was pretty much what I figured. It was going to be a blowout one way or the other. It just fell Clemson's way. I think Deshaun Watson is a much better, is a fantastic athlete, no matter what I say or anybody else says about him. and he's going to carry that team. That's what's going to make or break Clemson at the end of the day in the championship matchup.
If only more Bama fans thought like you on that notion.
What, that Deshaun Watson's going to be good? I don't think anybody's arguing. I don't think anybody's arguing that Deshaun Watson is good. I think what they're arguing is that look at Bama's defense against all the teams they've gone against. Look at it. It's insane. The only time that they really struggled was when they gave up that many turnovers against Ole Miss.
What was that? What happened in the Ole Miss game?
They gave up a bunch of turnovers.
Andrew, your smugness is dripping off of your face.
I was going to say, I love you, Logan, but if being susceptible to the pass means that you give up less than a 50% completion rate, less than 220 yards, you have two interceptions, one of which is a pick six, and the opponent's QBR is 19.6, then I want my defense to be susceptible to the pass every damn game.
So how many passing yards did they give up?
They gave up 210 yards.
How many running yards did they give up? Well, we talked about it earlier. You pointed out their rushing yards were just slightly over their amount of rushes. I still
more than their number of carries.
So I'm still going to say they're more susceptible to the pass than they are to the run game.
I mean, I can't even think of the analogy because I mean that's we're looking at a defense that's just fantastic across the board, saying, well, technically they're worse against this, but they're still better than everyone else.
I mean, sometimes that's the situation you got to deal with, and the coach has got a game plan around that if they're going to win. So, I mean, what would you tell them to do? Well, we should just punt when we get the ball because our defense...
Punt on third down. No one expects it.
Yeah, there you go. Because our defense is going to have a better shot against their offense than our offense will ever have against their defense. Because they were moving the ball very efficiently in the first half. The pick in the end zone is really what killed them. And I think Lane Kiffin being able to game plan around Michigan State's defense was really what blew the game wide open. So I'll go ahead and move it forward, guys. Let's wrap this podcast up. National championship, it's next week. What do you think of the matchup?
Well, first of all, it's on a Monday, which pisses me off. You play it on a Saturday night, so A, I can watch the whole game, and B, I can get belligerently drunk while watching the whole game and not have to worry about going to work the next day. You know, Clemson hasn't played a defense as talented, at least on paper and statistically, since they played Boston College. And Boston College actually did a fairly decent job of containing – they didn't really stop the Clemson offense, but they contained them. The only problem is that Boston College may have had the worst offense in the history of modern college football. And so they weren't able to really do themselves any favors – when their defense was able to get some stops or shut down, you know, slow down that Clemson offense. And that's going to be the really big thing to me is how well Alabama's offense is able to take advantage of what their defense is able to do to Clemson. Mm-hmm. You know, and kind of the same real thing with Clemson is if their offense is going to be able to do a lot against possibly one of the best defenses we've ever seen in the college game. You know, I mean, the numbers are astronomically insane across the board. They're only giving up 75 yards a game on the ground, which, I mean, that's unbelievable. They lead the nation in sacks. You know, they're unbelievable. You know, the talent we've seen is on a level that I'm not even sure Nick Saban is really used to. I mean, his defense here might could beat his Miami Dolphins defense the year he was there. You know, and I want to pick Clemson because ACC and all that, but, you know, if Clemson wins a national title, you got to deal with insufferable Clemson fans. If Bama wins national title, you got to deal with insufferable Bama fans. And you know what? I'm just so used to Bama fans being insufferable. I think Alabama's going to win it. I think it's going to be a really close game, but I just think this is one of those Alabama teams that we're going to look back on. And this whole stretch of Alabama teams, we're going to look back like we do with USC and Pete Carroll and just some of these, you know, Nebraska in the mid-90s, these dominant dynasty programs that, that we have run for a couple of years.
Roll Tide. Nigel, can you give us a reason Clemson could win this game?
only need one, and his name is Deshaun Watson. I don't think Alabama has faced a QB as talented as Deshaun Watson this year, just like Deshaun Watson probably hasn't faced a defense as good as Alabama. I'm actually going to go with Clemson. I think they do just enough. I think if I had to say the pressure was on anybody, it's more on Alabama in this game. Even though Clemson's the number one team, they're undefeated. I think there's more pressure on Alabama. You know, Nick Saban is obviously the master motivator, but they're expected to win. I mean, there is not just being a touchdown favorite on the betting lines. I think Alabama is expected to win. And I think Clemson, if they go in there playing with house money, like I hope they do go into this game, I think that they can pull this out. I really do think that their defense, while not as good as Alabama, will be able to keep them in the game enough. And I think their offense is just has more dimensions to it than Alabama's does. Obviously, Jay Coker showed us a little bit of something against Michigan State, but I think Michigan State also just doesn't have the animals on defense that Clemson does. So I'm going with Clemson.
All right.
No other way to be a contrarian, because I know Logan's picking.
Tommy, I'll let you go ahead and weigh in since you're here. I know the ACC needs a big win to look like a stronger conference. Can Clemson give it to us? Because honestly, we're supposed to hate Clemson, but all the Georgia Tech fans I know are like, yeah, go Clemson.
ACC. ACC. ACC.
You know, honestly, I want to pick Clemson. I think that they have the horses to stay in this game. I think they have the talent to compete with Alabama. I definitely think they have an offense that can score points against Alabama if they can get it going. I don't want to bet against Saban and the process in the national title, so I'm going to have to pick Alabama in this one just because Clemson hasn't been here before. They've been working on it, and honestly, Clemson hasn't Clemsoned yet, and if there's ever a time that they can have their big letdown, it's going to be this game. It's their last chance, and I hope they prove me wrong, but every year they always lose that one game they shouldn't, or they just completely fall apart in a game, and I think that's going to be this game.
So really quick before I make my prediction, you three, the bowl season's been very disappointing. Do you think this game is a blowout or if it'll be really close? Just quick sentence answer.
Close.
Tommy?
If it's not a blowout in the first quarter, it's going to be close.
Andrew?
I think if everyone stays healthy, it's a fairly close game.
All right. So for my pick, I think I might surprise a few people, or at least one person. Bama's defense.
Yourself?
So I've been watching the Rocky movie marathon while all this is going on. I think there's just upsets in the air. So I feel like it's going to play out a lot like the Rocky movie. The first quarter is going to start, and it's going to look like Bama's driving down the field. Bam! Clemson's going to get a pick, take it to the end zone, shock Alabama. Alabama's going to get back on its feet. It's game time. We're ready to go now. Honestly, the game is going to be a tough-fought battle from that point on, blow for blow. I think Clemson, what they really need to look out for is penalties, because that was very rough for them in the Oklahoma game. But I'm thinking after what happened, Dabo Swinney can keep them down and control his team, because he does have that kind of mentality. At the end of the day, it's going to come down to a last-second drive, and Alabama's going to win on field goal. Y'all remember that Rocky actually lost in the first Rocky movie, right?
Did knock that ass out.
Then Apollo Creed got murdered by a Russian guy.
Yeah, dude.
Nah, yeah. I think they went the distance, but Apollo won on the points. So, yeah. I'm going with the same deal. Yeah, until Russia gets a college football team, that terrifies me.
Who's gonna put bears in uniforms? Let them loose on the field.
Before we close out, does anybody have any good call-outs or shout-outs to end the year on, or to start the year on, I suppose?
Georgia Tech Basketball Revenge Tour 2K16 did not get off to the start that I wanted. Unfortunately, though I had high hopes, we let North Carolina back into the game, and they were barely able to squeak out a win against the heavily favored Yellow Jackets. But Pittsburgh, we're coming for you next. Revenge Tour 2K16.
This is not going to end well.
No, well. Yeah, I got a call out. Well, really, like, a shout out. Ben Boware, number 10, at Clemson. Lord have mercy. That is all.
My only call out is to all the bowl committees, pick better bowl games. I was way too bored this year.
Well, my shout out was going to be to AJ McCarron if he managed to beat the Broncos, but he didn't quite pull that off. So I guess I'll give my shout out to Alex Smith, who is in fact the white Matt Ryan. He threw for 2 picks, but he won the game, and that's what matters. And he won me $200, so I'll take it. Yeah. My call out. Oh gosh. I guess my call out is going to be the weather. Like, make up your fucking mind. Is it cold? Is it hot? Because we're supposed to be... We're in the 40s till the end of the week, and suddenly we're back up in the 80s on Friday. Make up your mind, please. El Nino only carries you so far.
El Nino is Spanish for the Nino.
Is it really? I don't know enough to question.
El Nino is boy.
There's an SNL skit with Chris Farley where he's like, El Nino is Spanish for
the Nino.
I want to know why it's called the boy.
Well, what's funny is that there are actually two different weather patterns, because you have El Nino and La Nina, which La Nina is the girl. Yeah. And, like, they're different, and different craziness happens with the weather. And, I mean, I don't know a lot about weather, except when I look outside and it's wet. I'm like, oh, it's raining. But I know that there are two different Pacific Ocean weather patterns that have huge impacts on North and South and Central America.
Okay. I don't speak Spanish, so I don't know what all that means. Meteorologically, because clearly you need to understand Spanish to figure out what's going on with the weather. I do know French, so to sign off, I will say, "Saint Pa, wolf job! Yay, wolf job!" All right, any closing thoughts, guys?
This was the longest podcast ever.
Hey, don't. For multiple
reasons. I think you mispronounced greatest in the history of mankind, right?
I don't think I did, but you can add that to my statement if you want.
Oh,
this is the greatest podcast in the history of mankind, Tommy Keane.
Did y'all know that the song for Rocky actually has words to it? Because I just thought it was like trumpets.
From Eye of the Tiger?
No, the.
Yeah, we kind of knew that.
The Rocky song.
Are you serious, Logan?
The Rocky.
You've never heard the actual song.
You ever heard of a band called Journey?
No, it's Survivor, you jackass. How fucking white are you? Not fair. Barry. I knew that. I'm black. Come on.
We've already established I'm more black than you, Nigel. So.
You know, like, one Two Chainz song more than me. Two Chainz, definitely like my sixth favorite rapper.
I also knew that Ludacris dropped an album like 6 months ago that you hadn't heard about.
That's because no one was listening to that album, not even Ludacris.
Rocky.
It was awesome.
Okay.
He dropped it in his sleep. He didn't even know he dropped it.
The Rocky song is not Eye of the Tiger. The Rocky song is the da 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 da.
Logan, I'm gonna play that song for you, and I swear to God.
Speaking of finding out that songs have words, did you know that the Blues Brothers theme is originally an Otis Redding song?
I did know that.
Everything's originally an Otis Redding song.
I mean, may be the coolest guy to ever come out of Macon, ever.
I think he probably ripped all of his songs off from somebody somewhere, but I can't prove that.
No, you can't.
I know that song with the Double Mint Gum commercial came from the commercial and then was converted into a song from that time that Tommy got my big to run around the house naked. That was a fun experience.
Are you talking about the Chris Brown song?
Yeah.
Double Mint Gum.
Yeah.
Double your pleasure, double your fun, and dance forever. I can only dance so long, Chris. Please don't beat me.
Logan, have you actually signed off? I'm not quite. Have you?
Okay, we're
all on the podcast. Oh my God.
Thanks.
This could be part of like the outtakes at the end of the season.
Thanks. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you have any questions, get us at toemeatleather@gmail.com. Have a good night.